I surrender. Hallelujah. Now, you want to see a sign? You like a sign and a wonder? Now, we have talked about doing this song a couple of weeks, two or three weeks ago. I know they've been practicing it, and they've done it before. But it kept coming up in my spirit, and to the point I searched it out online. I wanted to make sure we had all the verses to that song. Going back to my Baptist roots now. See. You get this old boy to crying here now. See. But I'm telling you, that's the season that we're in. Angie, I'd like for that song to remain on the service today. That part. It's in that one for sure is in the public domain. We don't have to worry about that one. I'm going to post. Now, here's a sign and a wonder. I didn't know what day we were going to do this for sure. We talked about it. Just as I was leaving the house, as Sue and I were walking out, I've had this printed for a while, laying there by my chair. Huh. I picked it up and put it in my pocket today. I love the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? Thank you. You can be seated. Don't be afraid. I may or may not open my Bible. There's one verse I think that I don't like to misquote, you know, we'll make sure. But we'll see. May not even go there. This season that we're in is going through the fire. Right around the first of the year, the Lord, just one of those, like Dave says, if you spend a lot of time in prayer, He teaches by many ways, the Holy Spirit does, by revelation, by vision, by voice, by dream. And I had one of those quick teaching visions, and it was just a wall of fire, just from the left to the right, as far as you could see in either direction. There was no going around it. There was no going over it, no going under it. The message was very clear, and it wasn't just for me. I believe it was for the prayer center, all of it, and not just those here physically, but all who have locked arms with us around the world were pressing into what Alan called this morning real revival, the kind where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the maimed are made whole. Little babies are healed every time. Every time. No exception. That kind. And the message to me was just very clear. There is no going forward from here without going through the fire. And I immediately remembered what John the Baptist said. He says, I baptize you with water unto repentance. Well, thank God for repentance. Yeah. But there's one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes, you know. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So I had that, and then through God chose the vessel of Pastor Bronk, only God knows why. I love Pastor Bronk. And a series of nine messages from heaven. We call them present hour speaking. We call them prophecy. Just line on line instruction. If you want to go through the fire, this is how you do it. And I've taught on that a lot. Bronk has taught on it. Jim Martin has taught some on it. Alan has taught some on it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just not in charge. Okay. I'm trying. It's hard to talk when you're crying. I don't want to fail him. I don't want to stand there on that day and go, didn't you hear what I said through Pastor Bronk? Didn't you hear, Gary? And over and over with love and compassion, he says, come away with me. This is a season to separate yourself. It's not a season to be busy in the streets. This is a season going through the fire. Separate yourself. Spend more time in prayer than you've ever spent. Spend more time in fasting than you've ever spent. Spend more time in worship than you've ever spent. Come away with me. Because the end, the purpose is not the prayer. The purpose is not the fasting. The purpose is not even really the worship, although he enjoys that. The word, the purpose is the purging that he needs us to go through in this season. That the fire is going to remove the dross from us that's preventing him from the revival. Because he's not holding it back, really. Not really. See, again, I'm just going to follow him best I know how. I'm seeing right now when the disciples tried to cast the devil out of that epileptic, or the boy that had seizures, you know, the daddy brought him. And he said, this has been with this boy since he was little. It's often tried to destroy him, just to plain English kill him. Throws him in the fire. Throws him in the water. Boy, daddy's heart. Miss Daddy had heard great things about the disciples. Because the disciples had already been going around casting out devils and healing the sick. Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter and James and John, I believe it was. So he wasn't there at that time when he brought his boy, but hey, he'd heard great things about these disciples, disciplined followers. So he brought his boy. They did everything they knew to do. I'm sure they used the name of Jesus. I'm sure they spoke with all the faith they had. I'm sure that they did everything that they've done before. But in this case, that devil didn't come out. I'm so glad the story doesn't stop there. Because if it ended there, then there would be some justification for all those messages that I heard by well-meaning men. Well, they meant well. But the conclusion that they would say, because they would see it, they would pray and they'd see others pray and it wouldn't always get healed, so they would use that, well, see, it's just not always his will to heal. And that's a lie. That's absolutely a lie. Sue and I have been remembering some of the gold and the diamonds that we were served from Pastor Dave, who's in the house today. And we were remembering when he would use this phrase to talk about the church at large. You have limited yourself to limited men who have limited me. Talking about God. Who have limited God. See, and the bottom line of that statement is you got to have the Holy Ghost. Men are not your source, not really. We thank God for all the gifts in the body. We thank God for apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. We thank God for all of the gifts in the body, but ultimately, who is your teacher? Holy Spirit is your teacher. See, if we don't want to wind up being limited by limited men, we've got to turn to the unlimited one. He is the Holy Spirit. And that's why God's calling us to go through the fire right now. You got to spend time with him. Well, I started to say, in the end, the purpose is not the tongues, the clock hours that you put in. It's not the number of days you fast. It's not really the amount of time you spend in the word, even. It's not the time, amount of time you spend in confession. It's the change. It's the purging. Oh, yes. Because back to the story of the epileptic boy, if it just ended there and the daddy took him home not healed, then there might be justification. But how many of you knows Jesus is the will of God? If you want to see the Father, you got to look to who? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See? Thank God Jesus said, bring him here to me. And go. I want to worship right there. Bring him here to me. I'll show you God's will. In short order, he cast that devil out, and that boy was free, healed. Of course, then later the disciples privately came and asked, because they'd been having success. Why couldn't we cast him out? I like how Dave said it. Why didn't it happen when we prayed? We wish there was some other answer. We wish there was some other answer. See, but here it is. Here's why we're... This is exactly why he wants us to separate ourselves to him right now. Why didn't it happen? Why didn't it happen when I prayed? It's because of your unbelief. And it's hard for me. It took me a long time to come to grips with that. Because I know God is all powerful. I mean, is God all powerful? There's nothing impossible with God. God is all powerful. And we know it's the Holy Spirit, really, the one, he's the agent of power on the earth. He's the molecule changer. Jesus said, I cast out devils by the finger of God, by the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Ghost. So here's the Holy Ghost with all this power, fully capable of casting that devil out. But when the disciples prayed, God the Holy Ghost was restrained from performing the will of God. And Jesus told us why. It is hard for us to believe that unbelief can hold back the hand of an all-powerful God. Something in me. Unbelief, even though I can teach it, I can preach it. I was wanting again to teach, starting today, the keys of the kingdom. And through a miraculous set of events, which is really every time the Holy Ghost is involved, he showed me I've already taught on that. Jim's already taught on that. Dave has already taught on that. See, we've done a lot of spying out the land. We've done a lot of spying out the land and brought back good reports of here's what's possible in the abundant life. This is what's possible. This is dominion. But we haven't brought back a whole lot of grapes. Some. Dave brought us some. I saw more grapes through Dave's ministry than about anybody else in my lifetime personally. I can watch the grapes through Catherine Kuhlman, those old videos, A.A. Allen, others. But what about us bringing back the grapes? See, what he was, I don't know if I can say it, as it's hard to put in English sometimes what he's saying to you, but I was wanting to teach it again. He said, son, knowledge is not the problem at this point. It's not the knowledge of the grapes, it's possessing the grapes. It's not the knowledge of the land that's missing, it's possessing the land that's missing. And that's the whole reason for going through this wall of fire. Whatever it is in us, whatever it is that's holding back the hand of an almighty God, well, we know what the whatever is. It's called unbelief. This kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. You okay? Yeah, okay. 1 Peter chapter 2. I got it marked. I'm going to read the whole verse, but there's just one part of it that's really been coming to me. I don't know whether he's been... I don't know how he talks with you. To be honest with you, I don't have time to find out much how he talks with you. I'm on a quest. I'm on a mission. I hope we're going together. But whether you go or not, I'm going. Amen. I'm going. 100-pound arrows being fired from the enemy fort is not going to stop me, because I've got a shield that'll stop everyone. It is written. It is written, it is written. I know what to do. I'm trained. I know what to do. Now, if I just do it, all the training in the world won't help a soldier if he won't do the training he's got. See, and that's where we are. It's real. Get real time. Now, here's the verse. Then I want to talk about one part of it for sure. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, and boy, it's hard for a teacher to start with the word wherefore. He may let me back up. I hope he does. Wherefore, because of everything I've said so far, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. You could teach a week on every one of those sentences, every one of those phrases. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, the particular part of that that's been coming up to me in my time, where it says, lay aside all hypocrisies. If you ever want to see a study, if you ever want to do a Bible study that'll scare the bejabbers out of you, is that an anointed word? You know what bejabbers are? Scare you? Do a little study on what happens to hypocrites. You don't want to be in that camp. Now, this is a... I don't know why he doesn't do this through Alan, because Alan has more of a pastor's gift than I have. So let's talk about hypocrisy. You're here today, thank God. Many of you here by video, by internet, you're here. Where are you Wednesday night? Where are you Friday afternoon? So, well, I'm a member of the prayer center. I believe in the mission. I believe in the vision. I believe in revival. I am a believer. Hypocrite. Liar. Kidding yourself. Lie to my face. Where are you when it comes time for prayer? Now, many of you are here. I'm not picking on you. Many of you can't be here, live too far away. What's amazing to me, more than one people that live in other states and other countries have contacted me by email and say, what are those prayer times? I can't be there physically, but I'm going to do it here where I am. Amen. Amen. And you, that's an indictment. Now, I can't be for here for all of it. Age makes a difference. There's lots of things that, okay. But children make a difference. There's things. I can't be here for all of it all the time. I have to go pick up my granddaughter. I don't have to, but that's, it gets my mother out of the house once a day. It's good. She goes with me. I think it's the Lord. But I'm getting it. It doesn't matter what I do. He knows I have total peace in my heart that I'm doing what I can. See, and that's what matters. Now, if you tell me you do, I'm not going to argue with you. I can't look on your heart. But when it says laying aside all hypocrisy, well, hypocrisy is when you put on one face, but you're really something else. I am a member of the prayer center. I come on Sunday mornings. I am a part of this mission. Mm-hmm. How about this? I believe in prophecy. I believe, I've read all of those, Gary, and I believe that's the Lord speaking through Pastor Bronk. Okay? Where are you? Gary, say something else. No. Let it sink in. Laying aside all hypocrisy. Gary, you're going to run more people off. I just work here. I'm not the one doing the running. For in case you couldn't hear that, we have wisdom. We have wisdom from the group that says if you're that easily run off, just let them go, because you're not going to make it anyway. Just to be honest with you. You're not going to. You're not going to survive the beatings, as Pastor Dave said. Here's another gold diamond from Pastor Dave. We're not going to have heaven's best till we make it past hell's worst. Have you all been here long enough yet to find out that's true?
Yes.
Paul did. Of all things, the Lord's been having me re-listen to Dave's two messages that he did. We talked more on it, but there's two messages at the website about Paul's thorn. Well, if we're going to have what we're going after, you're going to become a target just like Paul. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to learn the same lesson Paul learned too. Because Paul at first said, make it stop. Yeah. Which we all do when persecution comes. Make it stop, God. And the answer God gave is, my grace is sufficient for you. Because there's really only, it took forever to pray this out. There's only two ways God could make that stop. Only two ways that God could answer that prayer. One, Paul would have to die. Two, he'd have to take Paul out of the ministry and just be a nice little Christian. That's the only two ways. Because in this dispensation, till the end, until that rascal is chained up, in this world you shall suffer. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if you're going to be a frontline point of the spear revivalist, you're going into war. He recently sharpened my understanding on even the armor of God. I think most of the church has the idea that once I get my armor, I have to have all of that armor and exactly right before God will use me. But that's not true. Because he was using the Corinthians. The little baby thumb-sucking church. And Paul said, I can't even give you a hamburger. Much, you know, you're stuck on milk. But you come behind in no gift. God was using them. Now, what does it say? Just like Pastor Dave taught us. What does it say? Why put on the armor of God? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because if you start really going to war, you're going to become a target. There was a king in the Old Testament. Somebody just shot an arrow into the air, it says. I believe it was King Ahab. But somebody just shot, they weren't even aiming. They just shot an arrow in the air. Some lucky devil. Just shot an arrow into the air. And that arrow found a chink in the armor. Well, when it says put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's not talking about doing some little play and putting on my breast. Hey, that's okay when you're 6 years old in Sunday school. How do you put on the breastplate of righteousness? You live holy. You live in the righteousness that he's made you. And if you don't, that enemy may find a whole lot more than a chink. You ain't got no breastplate on, period. Just fire anywhere. Oh. Yes, sir. Oh, okay. Now I heard back up. See, if he says back up, I can back up. Okay, let's just talk about the breastplate of righteousness. Because it fits perfectly. Back up. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2. Back up. I'm after verse 15, but let's start in verse 13. This is Peter's version of renewing the mind. Same lesson that Paul gives in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now notice, as obedient children. One thing the modern church in America, most church members do not want to hear any messages about obedience. But you're either going to obey the gospel or you're not going to make heaven. It is a bowing of the knee. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I will obey you. I yield to you. And it's not a matter of bowing to a written code. It's Christ in you and you bowing to him day by day. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all, see. So as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, don't backslide into sin. But here it is, verse 15, see. Here's your breastplate. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. That's King James for in your lifestyle. Live holy. Because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. I got to go on. This is all leading up to the wherefore of verse 1 of chapter 2. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, you don't hear this preached much in church today, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, he's not talking about scary fear, like horror movie fear. He's talking about that reverent fear of your Father. Our God is a consuming fire. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now look at verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls. Well, how did that happen? In obeying the truth. In obeying the truth through the Spirit. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And he's reminding us we only had this short life. Alan mentioned today something that Dave Roberson said to him all those years ago. One of those trips where he picked him up at the airport probably and taking him to Norville. Hey, somebody says, are we living in the last days? And pastor says, well, we're living in my last days. I only have one life to live. We're living in my last day. These are the last days that I have to give for him. God, we need that. Richard, I'm living in my last days, son. I've only got about 30 more years of them, but more than that. 83, 93, 103, okay, whatever you say. I'm not going to come against Kelly, I'm telling you right now. See, but for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And based on all of that, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. In context, the sincere milk of the word he's talking about, he's still referring back to, be you holy as I am holy. God did away with the first covenant because he found fault with it. The first covenant was weak through the flesh. And that's the Romans 7 man that loved God, found God's law. It applies to anybody who, Jew or not Jew, who loves God and finds out in the Old Testament God's law and they want to live holy and righteous and they set their mind to do it. He said, with my mind I agree your law is righteous and good and holy. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to live right. That evil thing, I'm not going to do that ever again. And those good things, I'm going to start doing that. And you might endure for a while. How many remember Dave's teachings on will worship? Remember the lady who gave up pie? With will worship, I'm giving up pie. I love pie, but I'm giving it up. I'm not going to eat no pie. She did okay for a while. And one day, the Pastor Dave says, you know, it's a parable. He gets a call from the local pie factory. Said, this lady broke into our shop during the night. She has eaten through two steel freezer doors. She is devouring all of the pies in the place and she keeps mumbling your name, Pastor. Dave says, yeah, I know who that is. It's okay. Her will broke down. She came to the end of her will. See, that's Romans 7. With my mind, I agree. I'm going to keep your law. But when he tried to do it, like we all try, you find there is another law. And it's deeper than your will. It's who you are. It's at the very core of the unborn again person. And it's called the law of sin and death. And what you are eventually will take over. And that man in Romans 7 is just in agony. He goes, who will deliver me from this body of death? The body of this death, thank God, through Jesus Christ my Lord. And then it goes into the glorious chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And I remember Dave teaching on verse 1. Now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And he kept saying, doesn't mean condemnation like when you sin and you feel condemned. And I went, yeah, it does. I'd read it because I'd been so programmed that it does. And he said, no. And he'd try and explain it and it'd be 14 miles over my head. What do? You just keep coming back and listening again, praying in tongues, listening again, praying in tongues. And eventually one day, I think he said it a little different and suddenly I got it. He says, now there's no condemnation. The Romans 7 kind of condemnation. You are no longer condemned to just live by the strength of your own will. See, God found fault with that first covenant because it was weak through the flesh, so he established a second covenant. He says, they don't have the strength. Their spirit is against my spirit. They're born of Adam with sin nature. And their flesh has the motions of sin in it. And their nature agrees with that. They're trying to serve me with their will. I find fault with that. I want to make a new covenant. He says, I'm going to empower them with the very strength of my own son. And I'm going to put his life in them. So that now they have the law of the Spirit of life on the inside. That makes them free from the law of sin and death. That's why in Ephesians it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. As long as you have the idea that he's only sitting in heaven at the right hand of God, that doesn't help you much. How do you be strong in the Lord when he's there and you're here? But the mystery of the gospel is Christ in you. The hope of glory, Christ in you. God made a new covenant. And we don't have to sin anymore. And sickness, we're going to get there. We're getting there. Sickness has no more dominion over you than sin does. It really doesn't. It's part of the law of sin and death. Dave would say it's a kissing cousin with sin and death. Sickness is. It's a kissing cousin. I'll teach this much on the keys because it's coming to me right now. See, when Jesus said to, who do you say that I am? Peter had the good answer, didn't he? You know, so they were going, well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, some this, some that. But see, the question of the ages is, who do you say that I am? Well, Peter had it right. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My heavenly Father revealed this to you. Now he says, thou art Peter, which in that language means you're a rock. You're a stone, see? And upon this rock, I will build my church. So I know that there's a whole church segment that believes that Peter is that rock. And that's why they say the Pope is the authority, that it's on that rock. That's just, Peter didn't believe that. If you read Peter's epistles, he talks about the cornerstone. He knows who the rock is. The cornerstone is, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the reason Jesus called Peter a rock, in that same passage, and I didn't look it up today to read it to you, but it says, we are all lively stones. Jesus called all of us rocks. We are lively stones built on the stone, the foundation, Jesus, the chief cornerstone. But see, in that same passage in Matthew 16, I think it is, getting back to it, right after that, he says, I'm going to give you, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Now, the real Greek language there is very more instructive than our English language. And the tenses of the Greek says it like this. Whatever you bind on earth is what is already bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is what's already loosed in heaven. Forever it took me. Shaka, shaka, shandai, mahandai. Forever, I don't know how many years, it dawned on me. That's really just another way of saying the Lord's Prayer. Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here, just like it is in heaven. If it's allowed in heaven, we allow it here. If it's not allowed in heaven, we don't allow it here. Isn't that good? That's the keys of the kingdom. So simple when you get it. Keys of the kingdom. Now again, keys. Angie has keys to Gary Carpenter Ministries International, worldwide. We have a storage building. Got some valuables in there, papers and different things we have to keep for the government for years. Angie has keys to the kingdom. She has the keys to the storage building. Why? She's authorized. She's authorized to open and to close, to put in, to take out, to bind and loose. Simple enough. You give keys to those people that are authorized. So when Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom, it's because he's given us the authority. Now see, I'm preaching that right now, and that preach is really good, and it's all true, but it's all theory also. Because in truth, I can't at this moment, I was going to pick on Alan, I'll pick on my buddy Homer. Most of you know Homer Betancourt. Associate pastor for Pastor Bronk down in Immokalee. And Homer right now is blind. But see, when it's not just a theory, I don't like that word theory. When it's not just intellectual knowledge, when it's not just a report brought back from the promised land, but when I walk in the truth that I have that key. I will say, or somebody who has the key, Homer, thy sight is restored unto thee. And Homer will see. I see that this goes right along with what Alan's saying. We've got to grow to that place, and we're not going to practice and destroy people as we get there. But we can't not get there. Well, what do you think we should do? Come away with me. What did the Lord instruct us? Come, be with me. And he's calling us to corporate prayer. And I know you can pray at home. I pray at home too. You don't want to get in a prayer contest with me. I'm old and crusty. Don't mess with me. I want to get that bumper sticker that says, I'm over 70 years old. Leave me alone. Don't mess with me. I don't care what you think. But what I'm saying is, if he's calling us to corporate prayer and we say that we believe in this vision, let's lay aside all hypocrisy. I begged him to let Alan teach this. Keys of the kingdom. See, I can preach it again. We could put in Dave's messages on it. We could plug in Jim Martin's messages. No point if you already got a perfect message on it. No point doing it again. We'll just play Dave's. We'll play Jim's. But will you be able to walk in it then? Well, no. What would be a cure for that? How are you going to change that? Because it's not, at that point, it's not a matter of knowledge. See, Peter, bless his darling heart, we love Peter. Well, you know, I read this is a sidebar. When I read Peter, his epistles that he wrote after 40 or 50 years serving the Lord, whew, that's a whole different man in a way than the one we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He did become a rock. We don't have scripture for it, but history says that when they crucified him in the Colosseum, he said, I don't want to be crucified the same as my Lord. Crucify me upside down, please. And they did. And history says the last words he said to his wife, because they killed her too. I don't know how she died. Die well, woman. Die like you lived. Die for him. And we can't make it to prayer. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'm lying to you. I just don't like being the one having to say it. But I'm crusty. Now, I'm looking around the room, and many of you are going, why is he preaching at me? Because I'm here. Well, thank God for you. And there's going to be people that hear this that aren't here at this service. And I hope to God the Holy Ghost just convicts the doggone out of them. Now, what was it? Last week, the message was revival is coming, ready or not. We are coming into the last of the last days. I do believe that now. It's not next week because I see things in prophecy that haven't happened yet. But whatever days that we're in, I want to have that report. I want to be able to say when I stand before him, I heard you speak through Pastor Bronk, and I took it to heart, and I did what you said for us to do. That's the report I want. Now, if you can't be here, and I'm looking at people that I know live in another city, it amazes me they come as often as they do. I mean, it's a long ways. Well, what are the prayer times? I can join in when I can, even if I can't physically be there. I can pray here. At least I'm corporate with you praying at the same time. God, I know the Lord looks with favor on that. Now, we sang those songs. We sang all the verses to I Surrender All. Alan's message this morning, I'm just going to draw one little part of it. He talked about the part where the leadership group, this was not Mary, how did Dave say it? Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, but the leadership group. It was Barnabas and others who eventually became apostles. Talking about Ananias and Sapphira and that whole incident. Well, at that time, almost like a, it was just kind of understood to be in that group, you were going to live by faith. And they sold their properties, they sold their lands, and they brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Y'all know that story. Well, isn't that surrendering all? You know, and so, of course, Ananias and Sapphira held part back. It's not that they held back that got them in trouble. It's the fact that they lied about it. See, hypocrisy. Yes, see? It's hypocrisy. Again, lay aside. They got what they got because of hypocrisy. Because Peter said, look, it was yours. You didn't have to do this. And even after you sold it, it was in your power what to do with it. See? But it was the hypocrisy, the lying. Oh, yeah, we're forsaking all the way these others are. That got them in trouble. Boy, isn't that good? See, I'm supposed to act like I always knew that. I got that just now when you got in there. I saw the tie-in with the hypocrisy right there. Isn't that great? He's smart. I feel like I'm supposed to read these because when we sing them, the emotions are going. And I mean, you know, I believe some songs come from heaven. There's a lot of nice songs out there. I think some of them for sure didn't come from heaven. And I'm talking about worship songs. But anyway, this one, you know, I believe Amazing Grace came from heaven. I believe It Is Well With My Soul came from heaven. And there's many others. I believe this one came from heaven. I believe the person, I think the Holy Ghost helped this person write this song. And a person named Israel, isn't that good? Israel, I don't know how you pronounce it, H-O-U-G-H-T-O-N, Houghton, maybe? Israel Houghton wrote it. Okay, all to Jesus, I surrender. See, I can already feel it coming. This is his heart. This is exactly why the wall of fire right here. This is it. You go in somewhat surrendered. But he's trying to bring us out the other side completely surrendered. I'm going to read these if I can. Verse 1. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. And in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus, verse 3, all to Jesus I surrender. How about this? Make me, Savior, wholly thine. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit and truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord. I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. And let thy blessing fall on me. Laura, you're going to have to come. Kevin, you're going to have to come. Sing it. Is Laura still here? Can somebody go spell Laura? Hallelujah. I can just, Sam, you too. Okay. All to Jesus, I surrender. Now listen to this. How I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. While they're preparing, would you mind to say this after me? Say, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. And in His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. Now, before they start singing, I have one other little vision that I see. I saw a movie years ago. It was about Martin Luther. I don't know if the title was Martin Luther or something else, but it was a movie. And there was one scene in it that I've never, ever forgotten. You can say what you want. I mean, you know, he was a man. He had faults like anybody else. But there's a scene in there that's from his own writings. That when he came to Jesus, when he really came to Jesus, he bowed. They had an altar, like many of the old-fashioned churches used to have an altar up front where you could come and kneel. And in that scene in that movie, when he came, he didn't just kneel at the altar. He laid his head on it, like somebody would do if they were putting their head on the chopping block for someone to take their life. And he says, Lord, I am yours. I am yours. Even if you call me to death, I am yours. I've never forgotten that scene. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I'm going to ask them to play. I'm going to come and just sit. This is the end of the service. If you really need prayer, wait till everybody else is kind of gone and then we'll pray for you. But I'm going to tell you, the altars are open. If you can kneel in your chair, but let's not just sing. Let's surrender. Let us surrender. Let us possess this land that He's been so faithful to teach us so much about. Surrender is possession. Surrender is possession. Hallelujah. Whenever you feel like it's time and appropriate for you to go, just go. And be blessed. We will have Calling in the Lost tonight at 7. And you know the prayer schedule for the week. Love you. Done my best to obey Him.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Sing.
Jesus, I surrender humbly at His feet. I surrender.
you're watching and you've never surrendered to Jesus, you've never given your life to Him, the most important question in the universe, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? He is the Christ. Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm speaking also to backsliders. Maybe you knew God at one time, but somehow you've slid back into the world and you know it's not well with your soul. Today's your day. Today's your day to surrender. Just say this after me. Said, everybody, it won't hurt us to say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that you are the Son of God. I know that you died for my sins. You paid the price that I could not pay. And you suffered in my place. I know that you were raised from the dead because the price had been fully paid. Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. By your Spirit, make me brand new. Lord, I'm going to serve you the best I know how. All the days of my life. And Lord, I'm also asking you, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Allow me to pray in that language that I've never learned, so that you can make intercession for me according to the will of the Father. Father, from this day forward, with all that I know how, I surrender all to you. My life belongs to you. From this day forward, I am yours. In Jesus' name I pray. And you can say, amen, amen. Well, I thank God for what He's doing. As for me, I believe that those words came from God. I believe in these present hour speakings. I want to do my best to follow the instructions that the Lord has given us, and I advise you to do the same. Hallelujah. Whether you can be here or not, hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in these last days. Father, we thank you that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will be seen in the earth again. Just like Jesus said, those that believe on me, the works that I do, shall they do also, and greater works than these shall they do, because I go unto the Father. And Lord, we believe you. Whatever we ask in your name, Lord, you do it. Whatever we ask in your name, you do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Thank you for these people, Lord. Bless them all, those in the building and those around the world that are connected. Bless them all. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you agree with that, you can say, amen. All right.